There is no place I'd rather be than in His presence. Thank you for joining us today for our weekly devotional thought. And now our host, Essie Johnson.
Welcome to In His Presence, and thank you so much for being with us on today. Today our scripture passage comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 5, 7 through 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. A change has come over me. He changed me, and now I see. The beautiful voice of Tremaine Hawkins blessed a generation of gospel music lovers as she sang to the words of the song, Changed. The simple message was one that every Christian could understand and identify with. When Christ enters our lives, something happens, and the only word that can explain it is change. Once I was visiting a small rural church, and at that particular service, when I was going to my seat, I saw this burly man with tattooed arms and an overall look that one might identify with sort of the stereotypical idea we have when we think of bikers. He approached me. I was more than a little nervous, but he embraced me and welcomed me to the church. He was warm, he was kind, and he wanted to make it a point to let me know they were glad to have me there. I later learned that he had joined church that morning and was still excited about being in the family. I looked on the outward appearance, but the real story was about the new man, the change in his heart. The outer life is always driven by the inner life. Who we are and what we do is a direct result of who we are inside. Paul drives this truth home in these verses as he reminds the people of God that the inner life matters, but that life should be reflected in our behavior and in our decisions. Known as a man who stood by his convictions, Reverend Robert S. Grant had to promise his denominational leadership he would not start trouble when he accepted the pastorate in the Deep South. He moved from Ohio to Montgomery, Alabama, during the developing civil rights movement there, led by Dr. King. The newly appointed white pastor of a Black Lutheran church, Pastor Grant, did what no other white pastor in the city did. He stood with Dr. King. He stood with Ralph David Abernathy, with Rosa Parks and others during the long bus boycott. He liked to say that he didn't start trouble. He just joined in. He personally spent 3 hours a day driving people in his car to get them to work. Not because he had to, but because he felt the need to let his outward behavior be consistent with his inward man. He and his young family had their house firebombed twice, and the third occasion when the more powerful bomb could not only have caused damage but destroyed their lives as well, God did not permit it to detonate. Reverend Grant died in 2020 at age 92. But because he and his family did what they felt was the only thing they could do, take a stand for justice and for righteousness, he will always be remembered, not just for how he pastored, not just for what he preached, but for how he lived out the message of the gospel when his life, the life of Jeannie, his wife, and his young toddler were on the line. Paul was driving home the same message that ministers have taught from the birth of Christianity. A relationship with Jesus Christ makes a difference. Doesn't just make a difference in how we feel, but it makes a difference in how we interface with the world. Our behavior matters because our behavior reflects who we are. Paul urges the saints to put to death, a very strong choice of word there, to end our earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. We can make our desires more important than God. We can worship them and serve them at all costs. We do this because, in the sixth verse, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. He says the image is very dramatic. We are not only to abandon them, we are to end their very life. Those qualities that were so strong, so prevalent, and so domineering in our character must end. Paul mentioned sexual immorality. Our desires cannot control our lives. Paul does not deny the existence of these desires, but in fact, he really does the opposite. He calls them out by name. Yes, our lust and appetite can drive us and in some cases control us. Otherwise, rational individuals have risked their families, lives, and incomes to pursue desires and behaviors that, when revealed, totally destroyed much of what they truly loved. The dull, boring marriage, the dull, boring job, when swept away through infidelity and inappropriate behavior, then seems like a dream the individual wishes they could reclaim. I sadly recall an individual who was trying to restart his life. He had left his family for someone he thought loved him, only to discover that after he left his family, she didn't want him anymore. He had been misled and now had lost what really mattered. God being God was still there for him, but so much damage had been done. This story is not unique. The devil wants to rule us through our passions. But even our passions can be brought under the blood. Bring it all under the blood. There is no temptation that we cannot lay before him. There is no pain he cannot understand. Even now, someone is being tempted by the allure of money. The enemy is promising financial gain If only a small lie is told, a little corner is cut, no one will ever know. It's all lies. How many times have we seen acts done in secret exposed to the world? Even in the unlikely scenario that no person finds out. What about God? Do you really think you can keep it from him? He's the only one we really want to please. These are all part of the old man, the old woman, things we used to do. But thank God we are no longer in bondage. We have freedom through Jesus Christ. It may not be easy. There may be moments of weakness, but when we fall, we can get up and keep going. Jesus is with us, and we cannot afford to give up. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We can take it. We can make it. We can make it until tomorrow. We can make it through this day. Hold on to the Lord. Let's pray. We thank you for the new life that you have given. And we thank you for strength for today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a blessed and beautiful week. And join us again next time in his presence.
Please share your comments on this broadcast at InHisPresence@NoneLikeHimAnywhere.org.